Game Time is supported by South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organizations. Learn more at sdctso.org.
Coming up on Game Time, last Friday, the parody party that is 11AA gives us something to talk about. Nate and I will dig deeper. Plus, the grades are in at midterms. Who's breezing through the semester? Who needs to study up? And a look ahead to the top tilts in high school football coming up this week. All next on Game Time.
Another week of Game Time here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined with Jason Andera. This week, you're what? The footballologist, the doctor of gridironomics.
I don't know.
You've got a lot of grades to give out this week, and it's going to be fun because we're actually going to be grading the media ourselves.
We're going to grade ourselves.
As far as what some of the preseason expectations were for the teams.
When's the last time you got a grade, Nate?
Well, you know, it feels like a long time ago, but I do get those college nightmares,
yeah,
where
exactly.
You wake up and like, oh, I missed a class type of thing. C's get degrees, though. I will say that.
You are living proof. That's great.
But what we like to do every week is we like to look at the headliners right away, just to kind of quickly recap some of the big stories that took place. I know there was a big 11AA, AAA matchup with Yankton and Harrisburg that we talked about last week, so we'll get to that. But I think first, let's just talk about Huron going out west to take on Sturgis. And Huron, man, they just, you know, ever since they dropped that game to Brookings, they just keep winning.
And they keep winning in impressive fashion, and they do it with their defense. You know, they beat Pierre with a pick six at the end of the game. They beat T on the road. That was a big win for them. And now a knock off another undefeated team in 11AA in Sturgis, and they just played well from the beginning of the game to the end. They were consistent throughout the game. And Drew Strand, the head coach, you know, I reached out to him this week, and he said, it's been a lot of hard work for this team to get where we are over the last couple of years. And some of that work that they've been doing in the offseason is really starting to show finally this year. And you can tell this Huron team, they've got some serious goals now, you know, moving up the ranks. But that game against Sturgis, I mean, it's just like all these other 11AA games. They could have went either way. There were some opportunities for the Scoopers to get into this game, and Huron just kept shutting them down.
Yeah, once you kind of felt the momentum, is it changing? Is this Sturgis's chance to kind of take control? Huron would then hit a big play, or they'd get a big stop.
Yeah, that was a good win for Huron. And then the 11AA drama just keeps unfolding every week, doesn't it? Pierre, they kind of stole one from Brookings at the end of the game. First of all, they played in sloppy conditions. They had over a couple inches of rain within a short period. Pierre was not able to practice a couple of times on the field throughout the week coming into this game. And then they had to show up and play on less than desirable conditions. And they still, Caleb Lounsbury made some plays downfield. Connor Shufflebine made some huge plays in the receiving game. And they did just enough to get the win at the end of the game, where they had to take the lead back from Brookings, a couple of contenders in 11AA.
Well, you had said this to me too, leading up to the show this week, but Pierre's really a pick six away from probably being undefeated, correct?
Well, they are. You're right. Their only loss of the year come to Huron, and they were driving at the end of the game. They had some opportunities in that game. They made some uncharacteristic turnovers in that game, including that pick six at the end of the game. So, yeah, Pierre's a pick six away from being undefeated. Sturgis is, just that last week's game away from being undefeated. Yankton had to play a AAA team away from being undefeated.
Right.
Nobody undefeated left. T is a, maybe an injury away from being undefeated.
Yep.
This is this
everybody
is
has
crazy.
A case to make, right?
Everybody's got a case to make, for sure. But speaking of Yankton, let's talk about that game.
So Yankton, we talked about this. We really wanted to see how Yankton, who we kind of all thought, they're sort of that number one team in 11AA, at least at this point.
Yeah, offensively, for sure.
So how are they going to do at going to Harrisburg to take on one of the better teams in 11AAA? Tough road matchup. It was a Saturday game, so it wasn't a Friday. How was that going to turn out? And, man, okay, so it was all Harrisburg, obviously. But is this more of a testament to Yankton having an off night, or is Harrisburg just that good?
Maybe a little of both, Nate, I'm not sure, but when the game starts out the way it did for Yankton, where they came out and, really had three bad plays in a row to start the game. It made it extremely tough for them after that to play catch up. They haven't had to play catch up too much this year. And then Harrisburg came down and they just built some confidence with the way they were able to run the ball with Josiah Hines. So a great win for the Tigers.
Jefferson played Lincoln. And, you know, Lincoln, we talk about him every week because I still do think that they are probably the best team in the state. But Jefferson, man, they made themselves known.
They more than stayed with him. The first three quarters of this game, you couldn't have told me, just as an outsider, if you parachuted in, you couldn't have told me which team was number one because they both looked really good. A couple of takeaways from that game for me. Davion Simonson, the running back for Jefferson, is the best running back in the state. He did an awesome job of creating plays when they needed plays on offense, and another couple big plays by them, and they never went down to the mat and stayed there. They always got back up and fought. I think they took the lead from Lincoln five times in that game. That's how back and forth this thing was through the first three quarters. The fourth quarter, though, belonged to Lincoln.
Yep.
And the other takeaway I have is Lincoln did it again. They scored 50 points again. This year they've scored 62, 50, 55, and 57. Folks, they are averaging 56 points per game. I look back at the record for 11 AAA. Their record for scoring was set just 2 years ago by the Lincoln team in 23, where they averaged 49 points per game. So they're on pace. But just keep in mind, they still have the top two defenses in the class on their schedule, Brandon Valley and Harrisburg. So I don't know if they'll keep 56 points per game going, Nate.
Well, and you know, we talk about Lincoln too, like their defense is what they've had to sort of get figured out a little bit, right? And we've said it's gonna take some time for the chemistry to kind of get there. We know of all the offensive pieces that came back for Lincoln, and it is gonna be that defense that needs to figure it out. And if your offense is scoring as many points as they are, your defense probably doesn't have to do a whole heck of a lot. But
you do want
your defense to be a little bit more sound if you want to for sure be taken seriously as a state champion.
I think you're right. And Brandon Valley is waiting in the wings, and they're handling their games, and they're playing much better on the defensive side of the ball. But defense doesn't get as much notoriety.
Yeah, I know it. Yep.
So, when they play in, a couple weeks, I think that's going to be a fantastic litmus test for both teams to say, okay, now we're stepping it up a notch, and we'll see where we're at.
That might be a top tilt for that week, right?
You think? Maybe. Yeah. A couple other surprising performances this week, though. Let's wrap up a couple more on
Friday. We've got, 11A, right?
Yeah.
We've got West Central that took down Lennox. Now, this is back-to-back losses for Lennox.
Yeah.
Playing a tough Sioux Falls Christian team, and then now you got to play West Central, and West Central, figured it out. And
they hammered on defense.
They did.
They played really well, and that was a huge showing for the Trojans with their new head coach, Matt Thorson, to come out and play the way they did. The defenses were really strong on both sides early in this game. Finally, in the end of the third quarter, Lennox finally got into the end zone, took a 7-0 lead, and then the West Central Trojans came back with a remarkable play by Boshe Knight. If you haven't seen this kid play, he is electric. He reminds me of Percy Harvin. We're Vikings fans. He reminds me of Percy Harvin, just a hybrid kind of guy. Who can run, all over the field, make cuts, and he made an amazing touchdown run for them, but they didn't convert, so they were down 7-6, but they found a way to possess the ball in that fourth quarter and were able to hit a 27-yard field goal by John Gehring to seal it, and then Lennox didn't have enough time to come back after that and threw an interception. So Lennox, let's just say last year they lost a couple of tough games down the stretch and still won the title, so I think we still have to keep them in the conversation, but West Central, now they're known as a contender in 11A.
Another game that we want to talk about is one of the top tilt games from last week, and that was Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy, going up against Alcester Hudson. You've been a big fan of Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy for weeks, but we've also said, too, Alcester Hudson is a team that has needed extra attention. So this is definitely one we had our eye on.
And early in this game, Alcester Hudson looked like they were going punch for punch. They had a couple of problems with turnovers that really had the game start to slide, and then Freeman Academy took control in the second half. They had another great performance. I think we got to talk about Riley Cheddar a little bit more. The way he throws the ball, he can throw in weird positions and off his back foot, and he is making some really special plays at the quarterback position this year. So,
well, another thing we do every week, Jandy, is we go through the game changers. So let's jump into the game changers. What are some of the performances for you that really stood out this week?
All right, let's go through the list. Colt Becker of Howard had a 269-yard rushing game with four touchdowns. Howard has been quietly getting better and better since that first loss of the year, and Colt Becker is one of the reasons why. Elliot Erickson ran for 145, received for 48, four total touchdowns. Today's Gannon Knebel. Knebel back on the list once again with a 311-yard rushing day, and accounted for what, seven touchdowns or so?
Right, yeah. I mean, just no big deal. Just another day at the office, huh?
My goodness, that kid continues to impress, and he is carrying that team. Isaiah Ulmer out of Scotland Menno ran for over 100 yards and accounted for five touchdowns as a quarterback. And then the Veenhoffs out of Madison, again, this is another pair that has really come on the scene this year, but Henry Veenhoff threw for over 204 touchdowns, three of those to his brother Shane, so that was huge. And then Dylan Williams, a defensive performance, you know, he's got to love it. A couple of tackles for loss, a fumble recovery, a defensive interception, reminding us a little bit of Isaiah Rodgers this week with making the headlines as a defensive player, right?
Yeah, and that's got to make every coach happy is when you've got a defensive player that one getting like one interception that you can return, okay, that's awesome, right? But then when you see the tackles for the loss and a guy that's just constantly finding his way around the ball, it's a dream for any defensive coach and any head coach. Another thing real quick here before we get into the midterm grades, Jandy, is one of the things that we do at SDPB, everybody talks about our sports coverage, right, and some of the great traffic and how popular the high school sports championship coverage is that we do. But one of the other things that we get an opportunity to do every year that is also extremely popular is the Buffalo Roundup. And that's taking place this Friday. It'll be at 10:30 Central, 9:30 Mountain out at Custer State Park. We're both going to be there for it.
I've never been there before. I don't know if you have.
No, I haven't either. Nope.
It's going to be fantastic.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Atmosphere, and we'll try to bring that through the airwaves to you.
And that'll be on SDPB2, and it'll also be streamed on YouTube as well. So be sure to check that out. It's one of the coolest things that we have in South Dakota. It's something that, I mean, this is the 60th year of the Buffalo Roundup, and you're going to have people that have been going to this event for, 20, 30, 40
years. They come from all
years.
Over, too, to experience that. So, if you can't get out there, make sure you tune in or listen on the radio.
Yep, absolutely. It'll be also, exactly. It's also going to be broadcasted live on radio this year, too. So, again, 10:30 Central on Friday, 9:30 Mountain. Getting into the midterm grades now.
It's midterms already.
Well, and it's, we were talking about this too, but it's almost a little bit, it is midterms, but it's almost like, feels sort of like that maybe Thanksgiving break maybe with college because we're looking
a little closer.
Right?
Yeah.
We got three games left of the regular season for the 9-man classes and for 11B. So, I mean, we're really getting kind of close to the end of the regular season already, which is just absolutely crazy to think about. But let's get into these midterm grades because in 11 AAA, the media at the beginning of the year said, Brandon Valley, Lincoln, kind of, 1A, 1B, right? They both were pegged to be very top teams, and it seems like that might be correct.
We're going to grade the media here over these preseason polls that we put out, which are, it's tough in the preseason to try to put a number on these teams. And this is what we came out with in our 11 AAA with Brandon Valley, Lincoln, like you said, at the top. And guess what? They're at the top.
Yep.
So I think that's pretty good. We've got all five teams in the preseason poll still in the poll right now.
Yep.
I'm going to give the media an A for this one. This is pretty spot on, Nate.
I think so, too. And you got Harrisburg right there. We talked about them here a little earlier in the show. They're still right in there in that conversation, too, as a team that might, can they propel themselves up into that same tier as a Lincoln and a Brandon Valley?
Hey, good job, media. Way to go.
So you gave them media an A for 11 AAA.
Yep.
How about for 11AA? Because I think we all thought, we thought Yankton was probably getting close to that peer range. We've talked a lot about Huron the past few weeks. You talked about, Sturgis Brown having their first loss this week.
How do we grade this? Well, at the beginning of the season, almost everybody gave peer the number one nod, and why not? When you're unsure, you give it to the team that's been there and done that over the last decade, basically. T also got one first place vote. That was from me, actually. And it's been, that could be, it could be talked about. It could go either way. And then Watertown was in the top five, you know, yep. being the state champions, coming back. They've had an extremely tough schedule. So how do you grade this? Because, you know, it could end up bearing out that this is exactly how it ends up. Yep. We don't know.
We don't.
We had Yankton ranked high. They're still ranked high. We have Peer with the one loss, you know, and they could end up being the number one team. How do you grade this mess? I have no idea.
I mean, you're talking to a C's get degrees type of guy, but I think the media was fair to 11AA for the most part. I think he gave them a little bit higher than a C for this one, probably somewhere in that B range, right?
I'm going to give them a B. I think they get a B. You know, who was to know that Huron would be that team in the top five? Spearfish got a little bit of love, and I don't know. We probably missed a little bit on Sturgis so mm-hmm. far, but there's still a half a season to go on that. So, yeah, I think a B. That's a solid B.
No, I like it. I'll buy that one. 11A, a lot of people thought Sioux Falls Christian early on. I know there was some, you know, there was some votes and stuff too there for Lennox early on, you know, that kind of thing too. Obviously them being the defending champs, but how do you grade this one? I mean, we talk about Sioux Falls Christian every week. They're an extremely polished football team.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And they got 14 out of the 16 first place votes in the preseason poll. They're pretty much getting all the first place votes now. So that's really solid. Lennox, I think, you know, they just fell out of the top five in the media poll. But, I mean, in reality, they're a legitimate top five team for sure. And then Del Rapids, West Central, Madison, I mean, they're all in the top five. We had them projected in the top five. Yep. So I think another A is deserved for the media. They did a pretty good job. Madison, probably the most surprising so far, that have jumped up to number two in the polls right now with a good win over Del Rapids. Yep. Now a huge test coming up this week against Sioux Falls Christian. We'll see how that goes. But, hey, you get four out of five right. Usually that's a 80% for a B, but you know, we're grading on the curve here. Give them an A.
Grading on a curve. That's my kind of grading.
That's right. I like it.
11B, there was a lot of votes for winner right away.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen, you know, winner, you know, has had a little bit of struggles.
They make us look silly if we don't project them at number one. Usually.
And you have to respect winner just because it's kind of like that peer effect a little bit, because they've done so many things right over the years.
First of all, them getting all those number one votes, and then Sioux Valley getting the other two first place votes, and those two teams have both lost a couple of games so far this year. So the grades are not looking too good here.
No first place votes for St. Thomas More either.
And no first place votes for either Elk Point, Jefferson, St. Thomas More, or Wagner, the three teams that come in undefeated right now. So I think we've got to grade a little harsher on the media in this one. There was a little bit of love for Clark Willow Lake and Mobridge Pollock coming into the season. They were Woonsocket Weston and Spring Sanborn Central. So at least they were receiving votes. So we're not gonna fail the media here. But you know, they would earn a degree with this one. Let's give them a C.
A C. There you go. Those are my kind of grades right there. 9AA, Elkton Lake Benton had a lot of steam coming out this year. You know, and they've had some good success and stuff like that this season too. Hamlin, you had Parkston, you had Viberg Hurley, but Freeman Academy came in as the number five team to start the year, and they have just done nothing but impress week after week after week.
Everybody in that top five in the preseason poll got at least one first place vote, except for Freeman Marion Freedom Academy, and they're the ones that are looking at the top here at the midterms, and they've played a really tough schedule. Every mm-hmm. team they've beaten this year has only one loss, and that was to Freeman Marion Freedom Academy. That's as tough of a schedule as you could possibly get. So for them to move up the ranks like that, Lake Benton and Hamlin, I think them starting the year at the top, legitimate. They look like they belong there. Parkston and Viberg Hurley have had a couple, a tough loss or so, but I think they're definitely legitimate teams. They've proven out that they belong there. Hill City is the team, I think, that has really made that big jump, and they may be one that we are not talking enough about. They got a little bit of love in the preseason polls, but I think they should be getting a little bit more love. So overall, I think a B.
A B, yep.
Does this sound right?
I think that's fair.
Okay.
You know, Marion Freeman Academy, I mean, I know they didn't get any first place votes, but, you know, still in that top, they were still projected to be in that range of quarterfinal to semifinal team at the end of the year.
They went 3 years in a row with three losses, and they kept kind of losing to the same type of teams, and, you know, they made a breakthrough this year. So
right. So 9A, where do we go for this one? This one, you know,
We had split preseason votes right here at number
and,
one.
And I was high on Wall right at the beginning of the year. I know you were pretty high on Wall right at the beginning of the year, too. Howard got a lot of votes because Howard is, you know, they're always Howard. Well-coached. Yeah, yep. They're Howard.
They're like Winter and Pierre. Like
they've
just
got the reputation and all that type of stuff. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's not like Wall was ignored here at all. I mean, they were projected to be very, very good in this class. Yeah. You know, where do you go for here as far as the media
grade? Yeah, they did well. I think Howard has shown that they belong and, you know, definitely belong. They had that tough loss to start the season at Alcester Hudson, but have come back strong. So they're in the mix. The couple of teams that were projected in the top five, Wolsey Wessington, they lost a lot more than we probably gave them credit for. Yes, they had a good quarterback back, but they lost a lot of numbers and a lot of starters off that team that made it to the Dome. So maybe we overhyped them just a hair. Harding County, same thing. They're always good a year after year, but probably not quite a top five team yet this year. And so I think there were a few mistakes we made, but overall, another solid above average performance by the media, putting the projections out for this class.
No, I like it. And then we've got 9B as well. We were really high on Sully Buttes to start the year. And I think a lot of that, you know, defending champs, right?
Three All-Staters back.
You've got to absolutely respect them and things like that. Avon was getting some first-place votes as well.
They still are.
Yep, absolutely. You got, you know, St. Mary's been, you know, doing some good things and stuff like that too. So when you look at 9B, how's the media, in your opinion, doing so far with this?
Well, you know, coming into the season, we kind of thought there's four teams, or I did at least, and I think most of the media did, that there's four teams that could contend here. And lo and behold, what, 5 weeks later, there's four teams I think that could contend. I think Harriet Selby has done a nice job this year, but they don't feel like that same echelon as those top four teams. So really, we pretty much nailed it. There's four teams. We just don't still know exactly what order they belong in. Sully Buttes is going to have a tough test with Faulkton this week.
Yep.
I talked to their head coach, Tom Moore, and he is very excited about how his young guys have stepped up. Because they have to play a lot of freshmen on that team. And that was the weakness we thought maybe would crack them a little bit early on. But it's been great for them so far. So I think they're definitely solid at number one. I think Avon, Faulkton with the one loss so far, or the early tough schedule so far, have prevented them from going undefeated. But Del St. Mary, I had a chance to watch last week in person. And they've got some big boys up front, and they've got two guys that can run the ball, and they've got two guys that can throw the ball. They have quarterbacks that alternate, and Tremere Hansen is a load. He is so hard to stop. I think he's the kind of guy that can carry this team, especially when you have Lincoln LeBrun next to him. So don't sleep on the Cardinals. I think they're a team that really has a chance to vault all the way to the top by the end of the season.
Offensive lines can do so much
that
for
too.
Your team.
Some big dudes up there, and they've gotten bigger than last year, that's for sure. And I think this Cardinal team is going to be playing. I think they should be able to earn a spot to the Dome, but we'll see what happens over these next few weeks.
So what grade do you give 9B then?
Oh, yeah, we got to give them a grade. Yeah, we did really well. I have 4 out of 5 again. Again, we're on that curve. You know, the four contenders we got right, that's an A for me. Yeah. Not too bad for the preseason media polls. I've seen worse.
Right.
I've seen years where we've gotten obliterated by people making us look silly.
Or gal, it's hard to sometimes know on the other side of the state, unless you physically are watching the games, to kind of see it. Because box scores don't always tell the stories.
Which is why game time is so clutch. Because we do the little bit of extra homework it takes to tell you maybe that second layer of, you know, past the box scores of why these teams are doing well or not, or injuries or tough schedules or whatever it happens to be. So little pat on the back for you, Nate. Good job.
Well, you as well, Jason. All right. You do excellent work. Before we close things out, one thing we do every week as well is we go through the top tilts and look at some of the key matchups that we should be paying attention to this week.
There is a load of them this week. I think O'Gorman-Jefferson, two of those top five teams in 11 AAA, definitely worth checking out. Jefferson coming off that big game with Lincoln. We'll see how they respond. Pierre takes on Yankton, a couple of one-loss teams in AA. It's on Yankton's field. This has become kind of a rivalry over the last couple of years. And Steve Steele is excited about having a full week of practice to get ready for these guys, whereas Yankton has, you know,
one less day.
So that might make things kind of interesting. Huron at Spearfish, once again, Huron in a tough game, and I think Spearfish has a chance to really make a statement here because Huron's been on such a roll lately, but I think Spearfish has been under the radar. I think they're a team that could definitely be – there's no surprises.
Right. And that's in Spearfish, right?
It so sure is.
That's two back-to-back weeks now for Huron having to go to the west side of the state to play games because they played at Sturgis last week, and now they got to go get on the bus again. Travel – you know, ask any coach in the state, travel, especially when you're going across the state, that's a challenge.
I mean, these kids are resilient for sure, but you're right. Every little thing on these close games makes a difference in every 11AA game. Like all these three here, the Pierre Yankton here on Spearfish one and, or the two here, I guess, that is good stuff. That's great watching TV.
And then we talked about Madison. You know, Madison kind of being a little bit of a surprise team this year in 11A. They've got a big home game this week as the top team in Sioux Falls Christian comes
to town. Yeah, we talk a lot about the Veenhoffs and what they produced offensively, but I think defensively they've been way better than we thought. And then Sioux Falls Christian on the other side, maybe the best 11A defense we've seen in a few years. They have shut out two ranked teams so far this year in 11A. And giving up some garbage time touchdowns other than that, but they've been flawless. This is a really good team, and their passing game's evolving too. So it'll be interesting to see whether they decide to control the clock or maybe try to go high-flying and match with the way that Madison goes five wide. So a really interesting game here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then Del Rapids has a home game this week against Tri-Valley.
Tri-Valley, new team in the top five. They were the undefeated team we talked about a week ago. And they continue undefeated. This is where their schedule gets tough, though. We really will start noticing the Mustangs if they can play with Del Rapids this week.
And then you got Wagner. They're going on the road to play Sanborn.
Another undefeated battle between two 11B teams that I think are... I think the winner of this game can kind of put themselves in the serious contender list. I know that rankings-wise, we've had Wagner higher, but for me, I want to see them win these type of games with authority. And then Hill City, Bennett County, Hill City. This is their toughest game of the rest of the year. Bennett County lost last week to Lyman. We'll see if they can bounce back and play against a good 9AA team. Sully Butte's Falkton. This is the one they played twice last year. They played in the regular season, then they played in the semis to get to the Dome. And it was Sully Buttes who really made a mark in that game and showed that they could play on the state landscape. This year, they're working those young players in. Falkton has done a really good job with Spencer Melius running the show. They didn't have to worry about Spencer Melius last year. So I really look forward to this one. And then Harriet Selby and Ipswich, another two solid teams playing against each other. I think that's going to be huge for them. Platt is kind of the under-the-radar team, and they've got a tough game against Lyman, who's come out of nowhere, and now they only have one loss. That could be an interesting game for both of those two teams. And then we got to mention a battle of unbeatens going on in the All Nations. Winnebago taking on Todd County on Thursday night, and that is a must-watch TV for those two teams who are looking really with title hopes this year, Nations this year.
Yeah, so a lot of games to look at this week.
Oh, it's going
to
be
a lot of
great slate this week.
We'll be having a lot of texting conversations going on.
I'm gonna be in the wall, by the way, on the way back from the Buffalo Roundup. I can't wait to check out top team in 9A.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun, and you're going to be doing some interviews and stuff too, so that'll be pretty cool too to get some reaction from some of the kids and get a first-hand look.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. That's going to be fun.
All right. Well, we certainly appreciate everybody tuning in for another week of Game Time. He's Jason Andera. I'm Nate Weck, and this has been Game Time on SDBB.